Local AI hits practical maturity. A developer who goes by Unix.foo published a manifesto last week that should be printed and taped above every product manager's monitor. Stop shipping distributed systems when you meant to ship a feature. The argument is blunt. Most AI features and apps today. Summarize this. Classify that, extract the other. Hit a cloud API because developers are too lazy to check whether the neural engine sitting idle in their user's pocket could handle it. The result is software that breaks when the server crashes, costs money per inference, and turns every UX feature into a trust exercise with a third-party data processor. The post demonstrates a concrete alternative. Brutalist Report's mobile app generates article summaries using Apple's local model APIs. No server, no prompt logs, no privacy policy needed. Apple's newer APIs even support structured output via Swift types, replacing the ask for JSON and pray pattern with typed, renderable objects. Local AI shines, the author argues, when the model's job is transforming user-owned data, not acting as a search engine for the universe. The economic case got its sharpest empirical backing this week from a developer who logged 10 days of coding work and reran 150 tasks on both a frontier cloud model and local Qwen 3.627b on a 3090. The breakdown was damning for cloud by default thinking. 35% of tasks file reads, code explanation matched cloud quality 97% of the time. Another 30% test writing, boilerplate matched at 88%. Only the final 15%. Architecture decisions, complex multi-file refactors. Genuinely justified cloud pricing. API bill. $85/month down to $22 by routing the first two buckets locally, with the 3090 already sitting there mining nothing. A 30-year IT veteran pushed further, handing a Hermes agent harness running Qwen 3.627b on a GB10 DGX Spark clone a task list that would normally go to a junior sysadmin. Update a system, install Docker, clone 5 GitHub repos, configure them for local models, start all containers. The agent completed it in 90 minutes versus an estimated 3 hours for a human. Stumbling occasionally but recovering or asking for approval, exactly as a junior would. The implication isn't replacement, but a shift in ratios. One admin leveraging agent harnesses to cover more ground, with the cautionary note that YOLO mode and sabotage by disgruntled admins are both inevitable. Hardware keeps closing the remaining gaps. A Mac Studio user running GLM 5.1 reports trusting it with roughly 6 out of 10 difficulty coding tasks via Claude Code, with Kimi K2.6 and Qwen 3.6 filling adjacent roles. Though at 4.6.0 GB memory, Kimi doesn't leave room for much else. The practical ceiling. GLM's 40B active parameters is where patience ends on an M3 Ultra, and DeepSeek V4 flash hasn't landed in Llama.cpp or MLXLM yet. Multi-token prediction support hit Llama.cpp via PR number 22673, and the results on AMD's Strix Halo are striking. A Qwen 3.635B MTP variant doubled decode from roughly 40 to 80 tokens/second, with community members reporting similar gains on 27B models across Vulkan and ROCm. Prefill speed was unchanged, but for interactive agentic loops where decode latency matters most, this is a significant unlock. At the extreme low end, Project Caroline puts Gemma 3.1b on a Raspberry Pi 5 as a persistent cyberpunk desk kiosk. Near instant responses, local chat history, intent parsing for Spotify and Hue integration, zero cloud dependency. The comments section already tells the story of how fast this space moves. Multiple users pointed out Gemma 4 exists and is much better. When your hardware target is an $80 single-board computer and a model is outdated before the beta ships, you're in a genuinely different era of local AI.
AI security. When offense meets defense. Google's Threat Intelligence Group dropped a report that moves AI-powered vulnerability discovery from theoretical concern to confirmed reality. A criminal hacking group used an AI model to find a previously unknown zero-day in a popular open-source web administration tool, then wrote a Python exploit script to weaponize it. Google detected the attack in time to coordinate a patch before any damage was done, but the implications are immediate. We have high confidence that the actor likely leveraged an AI model to support the discovery and weaponization of this vulnerability, Google stated. John Holtquist, chief analyst at Google Threat Intelligence, called it a taste of what's to come and the tip of the iceberg. Rob Joyce, former NSA cybersecurity director, reviewed the findings and described the evidence as the closest thing yet to a fingerprint at the crime scene, while noting the fundamental attribution challenge. AI-authored code does not announce itself. The exploit would have bypassed two-factor authentication, though valid credentials were also needed. Google declined to name the specific tool, the hackers, or which AI model was used. only noting it wasn't Gemini. The defensive side of the equation continued to build its case. Mozilla published a detailed behind-the-scenes account of hardening Firefox with Claude, extending the Anthropic collaboration that previously found 22 zero-day vulnerabilities across Firefox in 2 weeks. The Reddit discussion was predictably polarized, some dismissing it as security theater, others noting that at $4 in API credits for the exploit generation side and skilled researcher equivalent output, the ROI is hard to argue with. The more interesting comments came from practitioners in finance who acknowledged being aware of many such vulnerabilities, but not fixing them because to exploit it literally means all other systems are already breached. That's exactly the calculus AI changes. When discovery is cheap and parallelizable, the old, not worth fixing, math breaks. The policy response is taking shape. U.S. tech firms struck a deal with the government to review AI models for national security implications before public release. The local LaMay community's reaction was almost uniformly hostile. Regulatory capture, rep Hugging Face, more red tape before we get new models. But the framing misses the actual mechanism. This isn't a ban on open weights. It's a pre-release review process for frontier models, driven by exactly the kind of AI-discovered zero-day Google just documented. Whether you think the cure is worse than the disease depends on whether you believe the government can review models faster than criminals can exploit them. And on that question, the track record is not encouraging.
The Great Language Rethink, a provocative essay making the rounds, argues that AI has inverted the old language choice calculus, the languages that were hardest for humans. Rust, Go, Swift, turn out to be easiest for agents. The reason is tight compiler feedback loops. Every error message is a free training signal. Every type constraint narrows the search space. The evidence is hard to dismiss. Microsoft rewrote the TypeScript compiler in Go 10x faster. Nicholas Carlini orchestrated 16 parallel Claude agents to write a production C compiler in Rust. 100,000 lines, boots Linux, compiles PostgreSQL, total cost under $20,000. Andreas Kling ported Lady Bird's JavaScript engine from C++ to Rust in 2 weeks with Claude code. 25,000 lines, zero regressions across 65,000+ tests. Steve Klabnik built a new systems language in Rust in 2 weeks, getting further than he had in 2 months working manually. The irony runs deeper. The Python ecosystem is increasingly a Rust ecosystem wearing a Python hat. Pydantic's validation core is Rust. Polar's is Rust. Hugging Face tokenizers, Orgson, Ruff, Ove. All Rust. OpenAI acquired Astral makers of Ruff/Ove because Ove saves Codex roughly 1 million minutes of compute per week. Anthropic acquired Bun. The wrappers remain Python, but the load-bearing code underneath has already shifted. As Armin Ronisher, creator of Flask, observed after porting Mini Jinja from Rust to Go in 10 hours with an agent, the value is shifting from the code to the tests and documentation. The deeper story behind these efficiency gains got a thorough airing in the Lex Fridman podcast with Dylan Patel Semi-Analysis and Nathan Lambert, diving into DeepSeek's training innovations. The headline-grabbing $5.6 million cost for DeepSeek V3 pre-training covers only one phase. Semi-Analysis estimates the actual GPU fleet at roughly 50,000, shared with parent hedge fund Highflyer's quantitative trading operations. The technical innovations matter more than the cost number. A mixture of experts architecture activating only 37 billion of 671 billion parameters, 8 of 256 experts, versus the typical 2 of 8, multi-head latent attention reducing memory by 8.090%, and custom PTX-level communication scheduling that bypasses NVIDIA's standard NCCL library. Patel's sharpest insight: export controls don't prevent China from training models. Small clusters suffice but constrain deployment scale. Training a model does effectively nothing. The thing that matters is implementation. Reuven Cohen frames the acceleration from a different angle, observing that successful open-source projects now behave like living systems. Every issue, complaint, failed install, and angry rant becomes signal, not noise. Claude code has collapsed the bug-to-fix cycle to hours. The project starts evolving almost like an immune system, responding to stress in real time. The old model was static releases and quarterly planning. This is recursive development. And the irony is that the more successful the project, the harsher the feedback, which is exactly what hardens it.
Agent tooling grows up. We gave AI agents right access to our code bases. We did not give ourselves Git for it. That's the pitch behind Regent, a Go-based version control system purpose-built for AI coding agent activity. It stores every tool call as a content address step in a.regent directory think.git, forming a DAG where each session gets its own branch. Three primitives: iReachTetLog, what did this session do? iReachTetBlame, which prompt wrote this line? And eventually iReachTest, rewind, restore any previous step. A VS Code extension adds inline blame annotations with hover tooltips showing full step context. The core's roughly 7.8K lines of Go with B, L, AK, E3 hashing, SQLite indexing, and sub-10 milliseconds lookups. It's not V1.0 yet, but the concept fills a genuine gap. When your agent makes 50 tool calls in a session and something breaks, you currently have no structured way to audit what happened. On the review side, Adams Review ships a 6-command pipeline for Claude Code that runs multi-lens parallel code review, up to 7 sub-agents covering correctness, security, UX, and more, followed by deduplication, a cheap then deep validation gate, and an optional Opus cross-cutting pass. The fix command dispatches per group sub-agents in parallel, re-reviews with Opus, and reverts any regressions before committing survivors. On the author's own PRs, it catches dramatically more real bugs than Claude Code's built-in /review, CodeRabbit, or Greptile, with fewer false positives. The LN Ensemble flag adds a Codex CLI pass and PR bot comment scrape on top. Anecdotal, N equals sign 1, but the architecture, parallel detection, validation gates, automated fix and revert, represents a mature approach to the who reviews the AI's code problem. The cost visibility gap got its own tool. Token dashboard reads Claude Code's JSON session transcripts and produces per prompt cost analytics, tool/file heat maps, subagent attribution, and cache analytics. Everything local, zero telemetry, steedlib only Python. The most useful insight it surfaces: which prompts are expensive, usually the ones involving large tool results, and whether your cache hits are actually saving money. For the self-hosted crowd, OpenWebY v0.93/v0.94 landed with performance improvements that matter at scale. Chat history now loads from normalized message records. Prompt lists filter in a single DB query instead of per prompt permission checks, and per user memory lookups are indexed. The headline feature is finally being able to edit assistant responses, including reasoning blocks and tool calls, and continue generating from the edited state with full context preserved. The upgrade path has a sharp edge, though. Database schema changes mean all instances in a multi-worker deployment must update simultaneously, and community reports of broken notes and chat history loading issues suggest it shipped slightly undercooked. The infrastructure layer got a new entrant from MIT's database group, Calibi, an embedded vector database designed specifically for AI agent memory. C++ core with Python bindings, supporting HNSW, Diskannon, and IVF plus PQ indexes with unified text plus vector storage. The pitch is the DuckDB of AI agent data. One pip install, no services to deploy, no DevOps. Benchmarks show 4-5x throughput versus PG vector on 50K vectors at DIM equals sign 128, though the community immediately flagged that 128 dimensions is cache-friendly territory and demanded benchmarks at 768 plus dimensions with orders of magnitude more vectors before taking the enterprise claims seriously.
Multi-agent orchestration. From theory to shop floor, an ICLR 2026 paper from Sicana AI introduces the RL conductor, a 7B parameter model trained via reinforcement learning to coordinate pools of much larger worker LLMs. The conductor doesn't solve tasks directly. It outputs structured agentic workflows, natural language subtask instructions, worker assignments, and access lists defining interagent visibility. Training uses GRPO on 960 verifiable problems and converges in just 200 iterations. Overtraining, the model learns emergent behaviors, including targeted prompt engineering matched to worker strengths, verification rounds, and difficulty adaptive compute allocation. The results are remarkable. Despite being far smaller than any worker, which include GPT-5, Claude Sonnet 4, and Gemini 2.5 Pro, the conductor achieves MATH500 99.4%, Live Code Bench 83.93%, and GPQA Diamond 87.5%, exceeding GPT-5 by 2 to 5 points on most tasks while averaging only 3 workflow steps. A recursive variant where the conductor can select itself as a worker unlocks an additional test time scaling axis with less than 2x inference cost. The plumbing for multi-agent systems on edge devices got its own contribution. QKV Share, a framework for quantized KV cache handoff between agents. The core problem is straightforward. When one agent passes context to another on a shared device, the receiving agent currently either reprocesses everything from scratch expensive or transfers full precision KV state memory hungry. QKV Share packages the sender's KV state into a quantized cache card with per token mixed precision allocation guided by a topology aware controller. On 150G SM8K problems with Llama 3.18B, the QKV Share handoff path reduced time to first token from 1030 ms to 397 ms at 8K context versus full repreprefill. The paper is refreshingly honest about what it hasn't proven yet. The topology-aware controller hasn't consistently beaten a simpler local-only adaptive approach, and the prototype mixes runtimes in ways that complicate absolute latency comparisons. For a concrete example of multi-agent AI meeting the physical world,
Makinichek deploys a 4-agent pipeline for CNC manufacturability assessment on AMD's MI300X. A user uploads a step file standard CAD format with material, tolerance, and thread specs. 30 seconds later, they get a complete feasibility report. The architecture makes the right call on where to use LLMs and where not to. The step parser is pure Python mathematically exact geometry extraction. The tool matching agent is a deterministic database lookup, and only the operations classifier and feasibility decision agent use Qwen 2.57b. The MI300X's 192GB HBM3 matters here, not for raw speed but for data sovereignty. Manufacturing customers sign NDAs, and sending proprietary step geometry to a cloud API endpoint is a confidentiality violation.
AI as personal infrastructure. A software engineer living in a noisy city built a sleep disruption diagnostic system in roughly 8 hours using AI tooling, a project he would not have started without it. The setup? 2 USB microphones inside and outside. A Raspberry Pi gated by Home Assistant automations to only record when the user is in bed, Garmin sleep data pulled via API, and a custom web app that lays everything out as sync tracks like a music DAW. The AI wrote the code, including a custom Home Assistant integration, and the Raspberry Pi's audio detection pipeline. The engineer tested results and gave feedback. He did not read the code. For the Pi specifically, he gave the coding agent SSH access and let it iterate directly on the device, setting up experiments, asking him to shout or drop something, recording the sample, and analyzing it. The results were immediate and actionable. Neighbor doors, dish clinks traveling through walls, motorbikes, the trash collection truck. With actual data instead of guesses, targeted fixes, acoustic panels, door insulation, a conversation showed up in both subjective morning feel and Garmin data over time. The broader pattern matters more than the specific project. A whole category of small personal problems has crossed from too much effort for the payoff into sure, why not, let's give it a weekend. In the adjacent world of dedicated silicon doing extraordinary things, a Hackaday project crammed 10,240 individually controllable oscillators onto a Teracic DE10 Nano FPGA. The creator calls it a spectrum engine. Rather than generating waveforms through a DX fed with samples, it directly implements the additive synthesis side of a Fourier transform in parallel hardware. Every oscillator with independently controllable frequency, phase, and amplitude, all running concurrently in real time with no processor bottleneck. It can emulate virtually any form of audio synthesis driven by software, but without the software overhead. The demo shows it running as an 80-voice polyphonic synthesizer, and while commenters noted the sounds aren't exactly groundbreaking, the architecture opens interesting doors for complex harmonic generation at bandwidths that would choke a CPU.